This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
That's a great group. We got a good mix of experience and youth.
Let's be sharp. Let's finish strong.
You've got all the assets. You've got the talent on your football team. Time to produce.
Talent is great, but you have to be able to cultivate and build upon that.
We got the guys. We got the talent. We got the athletes. You know, that shouldn't be an issue.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals. Now.
Did you hear J.J. Watt at the beginning of that right there?
What did he say?
Right there, he just said, you're listening to 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
That was kind of cool right there, J.J.
Yesterday, he said...
We obviously did the conditioning test yesterday, completed the conditioning test, and then had a little soreness in my hamstring afterwards. So we're just being very smart about it. Obviously, being in the league 10 years, and the biggest thing that I know is that it's all about week one. So it's all about being ready for September 12th and just making sure that we're taking a smart, smooth approach to that date.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of, just the fact that he said week one right there, that's what got me nervous. Week one? What are you talking about? Week one? You know, you mean week one of the preseason? Your first preseason game? Or week one of the regular season? How bad did you pull this thing? That to me, it's been my understanding, it's a mild, not even a pull, but more of a strain right now. And they just want to be smart on that.
Week one, right? Is 6.5 weeks away.
Week one? What are you talking about, JJ? Listen, is this the best way to start a new chapter of your football life? No, it is not, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the way that JJ Watt, I'm sure, foresaw his kickoff, so to speak, here in Arizona. To actually go out there and during the run test, pull a ham, and somehow, some way, now all of a sudden you're on the pup, the physically unable to perform list. That's not the way to start, granted. But when he starts missing padded practices or he starts missing preseason games, not that he was going to get a ton of reps in preseason games, he was maybe get 3 or 4. But then I'll start worrying when he's missing that stuff, padded practices. That's what I'll have to wonder. And you brought up this is unbelievable of me to say this, but you actually brought up an interesting point.
Meaning you were listening?
Something you have not done in weeks brought up an interesting point in regard to J.J. Watt and his leadership. It's very, very hard. In fact, I will tell you, it's impossible to lead from the sideline. You got to be going through everything everybody else is going through and modeling it for everybody else, modeling how to get through those things. You've got to do that if you want to lead. You got to do before you can say.
Well, at least they've got two extremely experienced middle linebackers behind them.
Okay, listen, you're right about that. Zaven Collins is young. As young as you get, boy, does he look good in a uni, too. Let me tell you now. I'm just telling you right now. If you had all pro teams for how they look in a uniform, Zaven Collins, let's hope he can play, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hope Zaven Collins can play.
The old line, because, he looks good coming off the bus.
Oh, my goodness, man. Let's hope this kid is all that in a bag of chips. And you never know. You never know what you get until you get it. So anyone who says, well, of course, Wolf, he's going to be good. He's a first-round pick. Yeah, right. Well, I think we all know how many teams would disagree with you on that. Just because you're a first-round pick does not guarantee you're going to be a great player. Does not guarantee you're going to be a good player. Does not guarantee you're going to be an average player.
Because we have no idea how much time the team put into drafting.
Let's hope the kid can play. Because if he can play, he's going to give you an awful lot of confidence just looking at him. He looked good in the uni. Do you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
We got all kinds of things to talk about.
Okay, but there you go. You got me sidetracked on Zaven Collins.
I don't remember actually bringing it. Oh, I did. I said, because I want J.J. Watt on the field, even for these non-padded practices, to be able to turn around and just tell Isaiah Simmons and to be able to tell Zaven Collins, hey, if you see this, this is where your eyes should go. I mean,
hey, Zaven, I need that call sooner than that. You got to give me that sooner.
Exactly.
Yeah. No,
and you miss out on that because of a run test hamstring.
I don't know. We're going to take it very slow and be very smart about it. I mean, it's a hamstring, obviously, so you just you want to be very smart and take your time. And like I said, September 12th is the plan.
6.5 weeks. So the plan is to have the hamstring ready within 6.5 weeks.
Yeah, all right, 6.5 weeks. So why are you mentioning week number one, Douglas? Why are you bringing
it up? He brought it up. He said the plan. I can only go by what JJ says. JJ said the plan is to be ready by September 12th. All right.
That's right.
That's 6.5 weeks.
What, Mitch?
Means he can't get hurt in the preseason at least.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, that would be okay. Why would you say that right now?
Because he already got hurt at training camp. Okay. Well, that's why.
I mean, it's a hamstring. You're acting like it. You know, it's tendons that he's talking about. It's a hamstring. Everyone, settle down.
You need your muscles.
And by the way,
you
can be in shape. You can be in shape and pull a ham. You can be in shape and pull a groin. You can be in shape and oh my calf.
But are you in shape and stretched out? I mean, did you put the time into actually getting yourself ready?
Of course.
Okay.
Hey, it's BA. If it was BA, you know, you might ask that question. Remember Bruce Arians? It was just get yourself ready to go. We're not going to have team stretch.
And you know what's funny? It seemed like they had fewer injuries. Or no, the first year they had a ton, next man up.
Of everything Bruce Arians did, the progressive that he was, he's an old-school progressive, if there is such a thing. That was Bruce Arians. Of everything you did, that was the one thing that I could not believe. Hey, baby, just get yourself ready to go. What? Oh, my goodness. I thought that was a disaster. And then it really wasn't after the first year. You're right. That first year, it was. But after that, it wasn't.
Then guys knew that he was serious. Hey, if you, I'm not guaranteeing you anything. I want to say that up front. I'm not guaranteeing you anything. But if you'd like to text us a question that you'd like to ask Kurt Warner, send it to us now. Text us your name and your thoughts and your questions to the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Maloney did a great job producing the Doug and Wolf Show. We asked her to do something, get Carson or Kurt on, and Kurt Warner's coming up next. If you didn't hear some of the crazy comments from Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
People are coming here to play with me.
It was a strange day. It was a strange deal. But his point was, you've asked me to be this franchise guy, and now you don't want to listen to me. Do quarterbacks have the right to be pretend GMs in the middle of being quarterback? Well, let's talk to a QB1 because talking to an FB1 doesn't do us any good. Kurt Warner, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
What?
Right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line is Kurt Warner. Kurt, first of all, thanks. I realize this was short notice today, but Wolf and I are in a strange position, and we need you to be the jury. First of all, how's the family and how are you?
We're doing well. We're busy. Life is crazy nuts right now, but overall we are good and lots of good stuff going on. And as we speak, I'm driving to Cowboy Camp right now to start covering some training camps.
Nice.
Oh, that's good. Not only a Hall of Famer, but Kurt Warner from the NFL Network joining Doug and Wolf this morning. And another free plug for NFL. The Cowboys are, I believe, Hard Knocks this year, too. So maybe you'll even see Kurt on Hard Knocks or something. here's the reason why we wanted to have you on. Wolf and I are in a little bit of a disagreement. I think Aaron Rodgers sounds like a jerk.
People are coming here to play with me.
When you say people are coming here to play with me. But some of the things he said yesterday make a lot of sense. And Wolf is going crazy of, hey, you play.
Yeah, you know what? I said that it's true what he's saying, a lot of it. But at the same time, you play, man. That's what you do. Players play.
So you're the only QB1 in the room compared to Wolf and me. So with all that you are asked to do, both on and off the field as a quarterback, should quarterbacks be used when it comes to drafting players, talent evaluation, free agent conversations, bouncing ideas off of, what should the role of a quarterback be in the front office? Does Aaron Rodgers have a right to expect this?
Well, here's the funny thing, is I think both of you can be right, is that, you know, Wolf's saying players play, and there's no question about it, that is our job, that's our role, and players play. But what Aaron said, and, you know, I think you can look around the league and specifically at other great quarterbacks. Like, tell me Tom Brady didn't have a hand in what they did in Tampa last year and the guys that they brought in last year. And I think Aaron Rodgers is saying, I want to be here my whole career. I'm a staple of this organization. I want to be a resource to you guys to understand what I like, what I think of different players. Now, I do think, you know, that there can be a slippery slope there, is that, you know, it's one thing to go, hey, okay, Aaron, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you think about this guy. And then what if Aaron tells you, oh, I really like this guy, or I really want this guy, and you can't sign him, or you have to cut that guy, or the coaching staff doesn't agree with you. That's a whole nother issue that you have to deal with, where now it's like, oh, well, I told them what I wanted and they didn't give me what I wanted anyways. Yeah. So, you know, I just think there's lots of ways to go about this, but do I think there's anything wrong with a guy like an Aaron Rodgers being brought into a room and talked to, or for him to give his opinion on different things, and in an organization like the Packers to weigh that decision? Absolutely not.
But do they owe it to him?
There's things. No, I don't think you ever owe it to a player. No, I mean, you know, we would all like to have a better say, but we also, if you're going to do that, and I've said this in the past, is that you better make sure that you're educated on the big picture, and you're educated on what your team can do and what they're looking at and what their needs are, and be willing to sit into some of those other rooms. Whereas I know when I was playing, I didn't want to, and I didn't have time for all of that stuff. I let people that were much more in the know about the big picture take care of that. It would have been easy for me to go, oh, yeah, I want this receiver, or I think this receiver's great, or, you know, I like the way this guy plays. And, you know, and I'll tell you, I mean, there were unsolicited times where I would go up to people, you know, and general managers and say, hey, I really like this guy, or this guy's indispensable, or this guy, you know, I think can play for more for us or have a bigger role. Without question, you do those sort of things, but it was never in a vein where I would throw it out there and let them know how I feel, and then I would let them do their job, and back to Wolf's point, and then I would show up and I would play with whoever they put around me. My job was to go out and do that at the end of the day. But I don't think there's anything wrong with what Aaron wants or what he's saying. But, yeah, I don't think he's owed that by an organization, no matter how good he is. And, you know, back to the initial soundbite that you played, he did go on to say, people want to come here to play with me and my teammates and this organization. It wasn't just, hey, they're coming here just to play with me. But that's an honest statement, yeah, is that people go to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. You go to Tampa Bay. Why did AB go there? Why did Gronk come out of retirement to play with Tom Brady? That is a part of the deal, is that, man, I want to go play with that guy because I know we're going to win and we're going to be a good football team.
Graybeard, I want to be clear on this. There is no way in the world that if I was a general manager, I wouldn't consult Aaron Rodgers on some of the big personnel moves. There's no way. I'd be interested just to get his opinion on that. But I'd never, ever let him believe he was the one that's going to make the decision on it. Does that make sense? I mean, why wouldn't you get the kind of feedback from a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
I think that makes 100% sense. And that's, you know, that's a whole other part of that dynamic is, you know, as a player, you've got to be willing to accept that if you want to play that role. I mean, you have to accept that, yeah, I can give my opinion, but my opinion, at the end of the day, there's lots of different factors.
Yes.
And, you know, and again, I think sometimes organizations say, well, we don't want to have all those conversations. Like, I'd love to get Aaron's opinion, but then if we decide to go a different direction, I don't want to have to necessarily go back and explain it once again to Aaron. I want to be able to just do my job and make decisions. And so, I think there's a lot of levels there. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that you have to wade through and a lot of ways that different people could feel pressure in different ways to do their job differently. And so, I think that's one of the reasons why you don't hear about it a lot. And you know, we've heard about it numerous times recently, like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, now Aaron Rodgers, all coming out and saying, man, I want to have more say. I want to have more say in what we do, or the coaches we bring in, or the players we bring in. And I get it, and I understand it.
Well, stay on that point, Kurt.
There's levels to that.
Keep going on that. If you just tuned in, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner joining us. Is it okay, the change in the, as Wolf calls it, the quarterback club, that with the pressures to be QB1, with all of the stuff you have to deal with as a franchise quarterback that nobody else does, is it the natural progression to have more guys speaking out, speaking up, and demanding things from their organization, or is it already getting out of hand?
Again, I think every situation is different. And as I was saying earlier, I think it's important if you want to have that say that you're willing to put in the time and the effort that goes into having that say. You know, it can't just be, what do I want? You know, what do I want? I want you to draft a receiver with every pick in the draft. You know, I want you to go get me all the weapons you possibly can. I want you to sign the best free agent weapons for me. You know, I think you have to have the big picture scope of everything from, you know, salary cap issues to, you know, where we're at as an entire team and how we're looking at this, not just this year to win a championship, but the next 3 or 4 years. And what we're trying to build, so we don't have, you know, a time where, oh, we tried to put everything into a championship, and now we have to go through this 4 or 5 year rebuilding process. So I think there's layers that you have to have knowledge of. You have to be willing to put in the time and the effort if you want to have that sort of a say. And you know, I think you have to be willing to make that commitment if you want to be on the other side, and that's just kind of how I look at it.
Kurt, how do you think this whole thing is going to end with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? How do you see this ending?
You know, I think a lot of it will depend on his teammates. That, you know, I really felt through this whole process that he would be a Packer and he would try to stay a Packer and be a lifelong Packer. And, you know, I think a lot of it would be, I want to, you know, be a staple of this organization. I want to be around my teammates and all of that stuff. But now you hear like guys like Devontae Adams going, hey, I want to get paid. And, you know, talked a little bit, oh, it'd be great to play with Derek Carr again. And so I think a lot of it is really going to depend on where he feels the organization is going to be and if they're going to commit to some of those key players around him, because it seems like he's kind of opened that door to have more control of, does he finish his career as a Packer? It's not all in the Packers' hands now, as we've seen with other great quarterbacks, where Peyton Manning didn't end up as a Colt, and it wasn't really his decision. I feel like Aaron's kind of set himself up a little bit better now to be in control of, do I want to stay based on what they're doing around me, or do I want to go and, you know, and let them have their next phase, and I can go somewhere else and maybe be competitive and successful late in my career.
So I don't know if you know this, but about every 2 to 3 weeks, Ron Wolfley makes a Larry Fitzgerald prediction that's wrong. What's yours?
Well, how many predictions are there? That he's coming or he's going? I mean,
it's no. It's always like, I'm going to make an announcement. He's going to make an announcement coming up Friday.
Right.
He's
going to
do this. He's going to do that. And he's
wrong.
Always. What's the latest from you? What's the latest Kurt Warner prediction on Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah. You know what? I have no idea. I cannot believe that it's played out this long and we still don't know. You know, what I've kind of said along the way is that if it's played out this long, I kind of feel like he's going to come back. I mean, it just seems like an odd time to announce retirement now that training camps are starting and things are gearing up and football is coming back around. But I, you know, I have no inside knowledge. I don't know what he's going to do. And I thought we would know by this point, but that's just kind of my gut, is that we've played this thing out and he hasn't made the decision to walk away, that I think he might come back and make another run at it.
You Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
I mean, you know what? You're in the quarterback club already. And now you're in the Hall of Fame
club. It wouldn't have mattered what you said. He was going to say that to you. It does.
Graybeard, thank you so much for your time, brother. Appreciate it as always. God bless you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your family.
Good trip to Oxnard, my friend.
You got it, guys. I'll be out at camp on Saturday. Not sure if you guys are going to be there.
Awesome, man. We'll hunt you down.
If so, we'll catch up.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you, Kurt. There is Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, just calling in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're interested in a pre-owned Cadillac, you want a Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle, go to CoulterCadillacTempe.com and experience the difference.
Hall of Famers. Hanging out in their jackets.
Well, Larry doesn't have his yet, so it's okay.
It's coming.
Coming up next, I have absolutely no idea what's coming up next because I'm kind of thrown by Kurt saying that, what he just said about Fitz. You know what? Let's do more of that coming up at 9:45. Up next, the latest on extensions of the team that was able to get to a 2-0 win in the NBA Finals. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, we've got 30 minutes left in the Doug and Wolf Show, and we've still got about 8 more topics to really hit on hard this morning.
Incredible.
Thanks for waking up with the two of us. We're live in the Auction Community Studios, and thanks a lot to Kurt Warner for just joining us. He said something there at the end we want to get to in a second, because if you missed it, it does make you feel pretty good, but there was also something said. Give me fire, give me that which I desire. Yesterday on Burns and Gambo, that if you didn't hear it, I think it's pretty important for you to kind of get your head around of how do you read this? Bridges, Ayton, extensions.
They're two key pieces for us. I think this was a great season for them. I think they both played really well. They both stepped up in the playoffs, and they both saw what they can do, and they also saw what they need to work on, and they also saw how hard it is physically and mentally to compete at that level for that long into the playoffs. And I think that opened their eyes. And so, you know, listen, they're both important assets. Whether a deal gets done with them this, you know, before this season starts or not, I don't really know. You know, none of those discussions have taken place or started to take place. And, you know, fortunately, they're both restricted free agents too. So, you know, we start with that. And, you know, that kind of gives us the upper hand in terms of dealing with them and being first to talk to them and all that kind of stuff.
Your thoughts on that, please.
You know, it starts off with...
They're two key pieces for us.
So when you hear that with Robert Sarver, that's pretty strong. That lets you know they need to stay here. But at the end, when he reminds you the control they have when they become restricted free agents is something that it sounds like they plan on using. For me, I think it's all based on Chris Paul. If you keep Chris Paul, I think you sign those two to contract extensions.
Yes.
Pay the luxury tax. If you don't keep Chris Paul, I don't think there's anything wrong with making them both earn it, saying, you know what, Mikal, we need you to keep working on your offensive game, and we even need an even better defense from you, because as the playoffs got deeper and the talent got more focused, you weren't quite as locked down as you have been in the past. So, and we all know DA was fantastic until the last 4 losses. So give them that carrot, make them go after it a little bit when you've got the power as a restricted free agent, because you ain't paying Chris Paul. And then you'll have the money to be able to handle the restricted free agent.
I listened to you say that, Douglas, and I just say, yeah, that's not even an option, right? You're not paying
Chris Paul? No, my point was, if you're paying Chris Paul, if you got him, then pay these two.
You absolutely.
But you're if he signs with the Lakers, then I wouldn't pay those two, and
exactly,
I would, because I'd have the money later.
That's my point, though. That can't even be an option. Not bringing back Chris Paul, that can't be an option. I don't care what you got to pay him.
That's the whole conversation or interview with Burns and Gambo is at ArizonaSports.com. We wanted to spend a lot of time on that, but then something just happened that really grabbed our attention, and we want to make sure that you heard it. If this jacked you up at all, you want to comment on what Kurt Warner said, text us right now your name and your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, friend of Larry Fitzgerald. I know Larry hasn't told anybody, but what's your latest prediction, your thoughts on Larry Fitzgerald on if he comes back or retires?
You know what? I have no idea. I cannot believe that it's played out this long and we still don't know. You know, what I've kind of said along the way is that if it's played out this long, I kind of feel like he's going to come back. I mean, it just seems like an odd time to to announce retirement now that training camps are starting and things are gearing up and football is coming back around. But I have no inside knowledge. I don't know what he's going to do, and I thought we would know by this point. But that's just kind of my gut, is that we've played this thing out, and he hasn't made the decision to walk away, that I think he might come back and make another run at it.
How about that?
For the latest on Larry, listen to Doug and Wolf. Larry Watts on the Doug and Wolf Show.
How about that, Doug Lee? That is, wow.
It just makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. But once again, Barry Sanders. How did Barry Sanders retire?
Facts.
What did he do?
He went to Europe, and on his way, he faxed in his retirement announcement to an old paper that used to cover, newspaper that used to cover him in high school, not even to a Detroit media outlet. He retired through the state of Oklahoma or Texas. I can't remember where he's from. I know he went to Oklahoma State, but I can't remember where he's from.
Right.
But he faxed a paper, a newspaper from his hometown.
There was a song lyric that says, "It's better to burn out than fade away." Right? I think Larry Fitzgerald would totally disagree with that it's much better to fade away. What Graybeard is saying does make a lot of sense. It does. I can't get it out of my
head. Fitz is the type of guy that never actually retires. Then he just stops playing.
Just fades away. Would that be Larry Fitzgerald? Yeah. It would fit his personality perfectly. Especially he's from Pitt. That's what Pitt guys do.
Listen,
they dive bomb you and they fade away.
I think Larry Fitzgerald wants to play, and he wants paid.
You know, once again,
I think those are equals.
I think when you say he wants paid, of course he wants paid. There's no doubt about it. Larry is the ultimate businessman.
Yes.
He understands it, and he wants to get paid, no doubt about it. But I think it's an X amount that he's got in his head, once again. And if you don't hit that, he's not going to play. And I think that'll make his mind up for him. If you're not going to pay me that, because this is what I'm willing to go out there and sacrifice for. I'm willing to go out and do it for that. But if you're not going to pay me that, I'm just going to fade away. I can see him doing that.
As soon as Kurt said that, it just seems to make a lot of sense that when you're in ownership, I said this the other day, Derek Jeter changed a lot of things. By becoming the part owner of the Marlins, it opened up to so many different players. Wait a minute. Why should I just be content with the millions of a player? Because, and I'm sure they have a happy life, but it's about if you want to get into that realm of sports, you have to make every dollar you possibly can. So you can't have the argument, Larry, you should be happy. Just play for $4 million. You've got enough money. And how much is enough? And those questions, well, there is not a cap to how much is enough if you want to get into ownership. This was, 7 years ago now? 5 to 7 years ago. Maybe it was even 10 years ago. The Clippers were bought for $2 billion.
Yeah.
Okay, that's money. I think that's what he wants. He's got to make as much as he can to get into ownership. Coming up next, something happened last night on a show Ron Wolfley's on. And shocking, it was extremely interesting.
Really?
It was a statement made by one person that makes you think, wow, that guy clearly is not Aaron Rodgers. And he's a Cardinal. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hello, Murray, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Just setting y'all up for today. You're only good as your last session.
Oh, feels like the Arizona Cardinals are going all in,
baby.
Ready for this year? I think we will be a lot better.
Two of our offseason goals are becoming more physical as a football team and adding leadership to our locker room.
Here we go!
Baby.
We did some good things last year and made some big strides, and I anticipate us doing even more this season.
Baby.
Let's go!
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
Thanks for that rejoin. That got me going. I'm seeing way too many tweets that are upsetting me right now that I needed that. A lot of Daniel Hudson to the Dodgers rumors.
Oh, no.
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 No, not our guy.
You
no.
Dirtbag.
No. By the way, just to rub it in even more how the Diamondbacks are doing, there's three teams that are hot and heavy in the race for Max Scherzer. Padres, Giants, Dodgers.
Oh, stop it.
No.
Are you just, you're just piling on.
I am. And oh, by the way, if you care about the baseball trade deadline, Cubs have a game today, and Rizzo and Bryan are not in the lineup right now. So there's a lot going on baseball wise. We'll keep our eye on that. Players care a lot about this. It doesn't grab me that much, but players like it. So I should probably tell you that this is kind of cool. The Madden rankings came out. Best safety in football.
Buddha?
Honey Badger.
Oh, okay.
Tyrann Mathieu is the number one safety in all of the game. Buddha's number two.
Are you serious?
Madden says Buddha is the second best safety in the NFL.
How about that right there? The Badger, not a surprise that he's in the top four, top five. They've got him number one. That's very, very cool. Buddha Baker right there at number two.
Now, one of the things that happened last night, I think you got to hear this if you're a Cardinals fan. I don't know if this will shock you as much as it did me. If you're a hardcore football fan, you probably know the story. But if not, we talked about it a long time ago. I thought one of the most egregious mistakes Bill Belichick has ever made, and I realize how dumb it is for a talk show host in Phoenix to criticize the greatest coach of all time.
It doesn't mean he doesn't make mistakes, though.
But his decision to bench Malcolm Butler going into a Super Bowl for a guy that hates distractions seemed to create a huge distraction.
Still can't believe he did it.
Yeah, and I'll never understand it. I thought it was a terrible move to do what they did with Malcolm Butler going into that Super Bowl, and the Patriots lost that Super Bowl. So it's never made sense to me. So I hate to admit I'm petty enough, but I don't think I'd ever get over that if my coach did that, or if a boss did that for me when I'm the reason I am Aaron Rodgers. I'm the reason why we got here. You know, I have a lot to do with success.
It's all about me.
And now you're saying, oh, we you know, now you're a problem. Well, yesterday you had Malcolm Butler on the Big Red Rage, and you started talking about Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, 99% of all players think that man cost me another ring if they bench you. And maybe he actually does think that, but still had the amazing foresight and just maturity to say,
man, I got so much respect for, you know, Bill Belichick. You know, I know things that, you know, they didn't work out the way that, you know, it posed to win at the end. But I got so much respect for him, man. He's a great coach. You know, it's like everything that he says is right. You know what I mean? You can't sometimes be like, I don't like what he's saying, but he's right.
Right.
And I seen this guy do some things that I never seen coaches do before. You know, spraying water on the snapper hands while it's field goal. Making the DBs take their hands up with tennis balls. He's a great coach. I got nothing but great things to say about Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and their organization, and I appreciate him for giving me an opportunity.
Man, what a guy!
How about that, Doug Lease? Honestly, when Malcolm Butler was answering that question, Basinonians, all I could think of is this says so much about who Malcolm Butler is. What a class act.
Yeah.
Number one, that was my first thought. Number two, it says that he is indeed a dog. You talk to everybody. You talk to his teammates. You talk to his coaches. You talk to personnel men. You talk to scouts. All they talk about is what a dog Malcolm Butler is. And a dog to me is a guy that is a self-starter, a guy that you don't need to motivate. A dog is a dog. And he's going to go out there and he's going to be ready to play game in and game out. That's what a dog is. Somebody who's not afraid of the game and taps into the essence of the game, enjoys the game, period, and goes out and plays it that way. It also talks about a person that likes details, because if you respect Bill Belichick, and you could hear the conversation in regard to him taping tennis balls to the guy's hands. I thought he was just holding tennis balls so you couldn't hold. He said, no, he would tape them to your hands to teach you. It's really a great way to teach a DB never to hold.
I've heard of guys having to wear boxing gloves, but that taping balls is kind of a new extreme, isn't it?
That was cool right there. Words of affirmation. He doesn't need words of affirmation. That tells me Malcolm Butler doesn't need words of affirmation if he loves Bill Belichick and respects him the way that he just said he did.
The difference between a guy that gets benched before a Super Bowl and he says what that coach says is right versus...
Tried to pass along information, hasn't really been... used, shall we say. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me. I talked to Matt after the deal had already been in place to hire him as coach. I wasn't part of that conversation. You know, let's just make that completely clear. Decisions like that that have happened over and over and over again that make me realize that the organization looks at me and my job is just to play.
And I wanted to do what was best, you know, for LeBron James and what LeBron James is going to do to make him happy.
And then on the flip side.
Man, I got so much respect for, you know, Bill Belichick.
Man.
That's cool. I mean, that's
just bad.
That's an amazing dude right there.
It also tells me, too, that Malcolm Butler is tough. Man, he is tough, brothers. Because if you're going to play for Bill Belichick, you better be tough. I kid you not, or you're not going to be playing.
It was just really cool to hear somebody say something like that, and then of course the pick.
It changed my life a lot, man. It brought a lot of pressure to me. I think I handled it well. You know, I wouldn't be playing in the NFL for 8 years if I didn't handle it well. You know, things changed, man. You know, I became a household name. You know, it wasn't perfect, but you know. You know, just got to keep your head down working. And, you know, it made me feel good, man. I was a celebrity overnight, well-known, you know. A lot of things changed, man.
Love you, Malcolm Butler, man. Welcome to the fold.
Clearly the greatest defensive back in the history of West Alabama. Absolutely.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Duggan Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is that supposedly the Red Sox are coming in strong on Max Scherzer, which makes me feel good because I don't want him helping any team in the NL West.
CP3's going to be a Phoenix Sun. Everyone relax. Right, Robert Sarver? And Strang.